Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues. That's the name of this program on the American Family Radio Network. Thank you for listening to AFR. You can watch the show on Facebook Live if you want to. Just type in Today's Issues, or on YouTube, type in Today's Issues and watch the show on Facebook or YouTube. As Walker said last hour, download our AFR app on your smartphone or your iPad or your similar device, and that way you can listen to American Family Radio clear as a bell anywhere you go. As long as you have high-speed internet, just take advantage of that. We have thousands of people who don't necessarily live in a place that has an AFR tower or station, but they still listen to American Family Radio. Dr. Ray Pritchard joining me from Kansas City. Good morning again, Ray.
Good morning, Tim.
And Chris Woodward is in studio with us. Chris is one of our reporters for OneNewsNow.com and American Family Radio. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning. Thank you.
By the way, I'm sorry, I didn't let you finish saying good morning. By the way, we'll have somebody on, maybe my good friend Stephen McDowell from the Providence Foundation. I do want to revisit this whole issue of what happened in America's history that separated us from so many other countries in the world in terms of our wealth and prosperity and our standard of life that we enjoy here, which is the highest in the world. We have our problems, yes, but there's a reason why we are the envy of the world. Mm-hmm. Why do all these people want to come to America? It's because we have so much.
Amen.
And why is it that we've been blessed to have so much and have so many opportunities? That didn't happen by accident. That was some forethought by people who planned our country, mm-hmm. or who started our country. And I'll get Stephen maybe to come on and address that. Aren't you sort of curious about that, Ray?
You know, clearly the hand of God was on the founding of this nation, right?
Right.
I mean, I'll say it another way. America didn't have to end up this way. It could have ended up like many other countries in the world. And there was a providential leading in the hand of God.
Yes.
And there is a Judeo-Christian ethic,
yes.
that forms the foundation of this nation, undergirds the Declaration, the Constitution. And not all the founders were Christians, right? We all understand mm-hmm. that. But they were educated and wanted a nation built on Judeo-Christian concepts. And here we are, mm-hmm. imperfect, but Tim, still blessed by God because of that foundation.
Imperfect, yeah. I would ask people who would be critical of our country constantly, please point us to three other places in the world that you would like to live and that's a more that's a better model for people than the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
They don't ever answer that question. It's always just bash the U.S. Right. And so you're right. The Judeo-Christian founding of America, the freedom, the idea of mm-hmm. freedom and liberty, self-government, free enterprise system, the value of education, these things made our country, were fundamentals and other things that made our country great, and a reverence for Almighty God,
yes.
which was as Ray cited there. So we'll talk about that more in depth at another time, but Chris Woodward, you got a pretty interesting story to get us started this half hour, don't you?
Earlier this week, I mentioned a pastor in Washington State. He was at a Walmart with his wife and daughter and his grandchild. And in that same Walmart, in the vicinity of the Walmart, there was a man with a gun shooting people, acting strange, crazy, things of that sort. David George is the pastor. He's in Oakville, Washington. He spoke yesterday. Now, he fatally shot a gunman in the Walmart parking lot, and he says he did so to protect his family and others from the gunman and his display of obvious deadly intent.
While I am a pastor here at Oakville Assembly of God, I am also an EMT firefighter with Oakville Fire Department. I am proficient with the use of the firearm that I carry and trained appropriately to use it in a defensive setting. I carry a firearm for the same reason that I carry a first aid bag, hoping never having to use them, but always being prepared nonetheless.
There you have it.
Wow. What do you think about that, Ray?
First of all, he's a pastor. He's a man of God. Second, he's an EMT. He's trained. Good guys with guns, trained on the scene, saved lives in this case. God bless him.
Absolutely.
Yeah. The other interesting thing with this, Fox News points this out, the Walmart shooter, whose name is Tim Day, he stole his girlfriend's handgun before going to the Walmart parking lot. That's interesting. The reason I bring that up is because we hear all the time now about gun control efforts. We got to increase the age here or restrict that. And people always say it would not prevent these things from happening because someone somewhere will still steal somebody's gun. And here we've got a gentleman, a criminal, who stole his girlfriend's handgun before committing an act of violence. And building off of that, the FBI has a new report out. This is on USA Today. I'll send Walker all the links here in a second. But the FBI has a new report out where it sheds light on behaviors of shooters before they act out, finding most shooters obtained a gun legally and did not have diagnosed mental health issues, points that run contrary to some popular beliefs. But you talk about liberals and how they have no answer for these things. They'll still have no answers for these things. They'll continue to, beat the drum on we got to do this and we got to do that. California, for example, wants to increase the age in which someone can buy a shotgun, a rifle, things of that sort. But it would not have prevented the Parkland shooter. Mm-hmm. It would not have prevented the Santa Fe High School shooting. Mm-hmm. And we'll continue to talk about these things.
We need to be thankful this pastor had the gun and knew how to use it because he saved a lot of lives.
Oh, yeah.
So that was in a parking lot, though?
That was in a parking lot of a Walmart in the Oakville, Washington State area.
Okay.
The truth is we could have had another mass murder scene.
Yes.
And you've got this fella, he stole a gun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He starts firing. Who knows how many he mm-hmm. would have killed except for this pastor, again, mm-hmm. who had a gun, who was trained, who knew what to do. Mm-hmm. And it's a terrible. You're sad this fella lost his life, but he created the scene of his own death by stealing the gun and starting shooting. And so mm-hmm. God bless the pastor for doing what he did. He saved lives.
Another thing, too, I initially had a longer soundbite to air, but I cut it down. Pastor George mentioned they were praying for the victims of the shooting. There were people that were injured, which he tended to after gunning down the criminal here. But he said they were praying for the victims, and they were also praying for the family of the gunman. And I think that's often lost on people. I've written things about this for like 1 million dads. We often pray for the victims of things like this, but we never pray for the family member of the perpetrator who have to live knowing what their relative, their brother, their mm-hmm. son, their cousin did. And I think that's worth pointing out that Pastor George not only is praying for the family members of the gunman, but he's urging other people to do the same.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, there's a breaking story, Chris. We weren't going to talk mm-hmm. about this today, but I wanted to talk about it for a moment. That is, the United States Supreme Court issued a ruling.
Yes.
Where they are now saying that internet sales tax is allowed.
Yes. Very, very interesting
case. What does this mean exactly?
Well, it was a case called South Dakota versus Wayfair Incorporated, and that's the Wayfair is just what I need people
yes.
that you see on television. South Dakota passed a law in 2016 requiring internet retailers outside of South Dakota's borders to not only collect but pay sales tax to South Dakota from anyone inside its borders buying something from that website. And so it went to court, and at issue was an early 1990s ruling called Quill Corporation versus North Dakota, which at that time the Supreme Court said you can't tax anybody beyond your borders. Now the Supreme Court said that ruling from the early 90s is old, outdated, the times they are a-changing. South Dakota can do this. So you're undoubtedly going to see other states now following what South Dakota did and saying Amazon, championsports.com or whatever, you've got to collect and give me that sales tax money back. This issue has arguably divided people on the center-right, because we've seen groups like the National Taxpayers Union and its 501c4 saying this will hurt people. They're going to have to brush up on all sorts of tax jurisdiction knowledge. But you have people saying this is going to help mom and pops of the world who are trying to compete with internet sites not collecting and paying sales tax.
I was talking to a state legislator in my home state of Mississippi about this about a year ago, and this gentleman is very conservative. But he was saying this is a problem because, Ray, because what you have, it's kind of a problem on two fronts. That is the problem of not being able to have sales tax collected by internet companies. It was a problem. One is it's kind of unfair for your mom and pop or your brick and mortar places to have to collect and pay these taxes, which they're compelled to by law, obviously, or we don't have roads. You know, or so you have to do that. You have to collect. But then if you go on the internet, that company doesn't have to pay, so they're able to offer a cheaper price, at least to the extent that they don't have to charge that sales tax. That was number one, and number two was, you know, I forgot what number two was, but the number one was a biggie. Ray, but nobody likes to pay.
Yeah,
no.
Taxes. So
now, does this mean, Chris, that for instance, I'm in Kansas, and so Kansas passes a sales tax rate. And Texas does something else, California does something, in Delaware. And does that mean then that Amazon and all these other big internet companies, they're going to be adding state sales tax to the orders?
Yes. Okay. To answer your question, now, for several months now, maybe even a couple of years, states have been requiring Amazon to collect and pay up. But, you know, when you got a company that size, they don't have as big a problem as a mom-and-pop internet retail site does. The reason I say that, you know, Amazon or Walmart or some other retail store, you know, they have the muscle to collect and pay. They've got they can pay people to make sure everything's being followed to the law.
So you're saying somebody has they're doing T-shirts.
Yes.
They're doing T-shirts and they're on the internet and they're shipping them around the country. You're saying they'd have to pay the sales tax too. And for that mom and pop company, that's going to be a much more difficult issue.
Yes. Now, the National Retail Federation is one of the people that was siding with what South Dakota was looking to do here with their law. The National Retail Federation has pointed out that there is software available. It's free. It's easy to use, they say, that would collect and be able to, you know, expense this amount to the states without as big a hassle as people are making it out to be. We'll definitely see that going forward.
I know what else I was going to say. It takes me a little while nowadays since I reached 55 years old. The brain slowed down. But I was going to say that this costs state governments a lot of money that they use for goods and services that we all use. Now, is there waste in government? Yes, there's waste in government, but I think there's less waste in government on a state level, far less than there is on a federal level, because the more accountable you are to people,
exactly,
the more likely you are to use the money wisely, the public money wisely. But it is, what I'm saying is, you can imagine a state government with a budget, and then they can't, and then they find out, well, they can't, they're losing a lot of money because people are going online instead of going down to the store and buying stuff, and they're not being able to collect the sales tax on that. Now, you know,
so on one hand, Walmart is going to be in favor of this, except Walmart also has a huge
online
presence, right?
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, they do. And so we'll see what happens with this, but the bottom line was the Supreme Court has announced their decision, and their decision is that that internet companies will have to pay to the states sales tax for customers they have in those states.
Yes.
True?
True. So you will see a lot of states looking to do what South Dakota did 2 years ago when they meet for their next legislative session. A number of states have already dispersed for the year. So you'll see a lot of states kicking that up. We'll be covering that for you guys.
Man, Chris, I just sprung that on you. Man, you were loaded.
Well, no, you were all over it.
I appreciate you bringing it up. I've been following
it. We didn't talk about that before the show. And
well,
so you didn't know I was going to bring it up.
Well, keep it locked right here on AFR Talk, because I'll be following it up this afternoon with people that were on the side of Wayfair, as well as people that were on the side of South Dakota. South Dakota, by the way, their attorney general that argued for this law is a Republican named Marty Jackley. And then the Deputy Solicitor General of the U.S., so the Trump administration, argued on South Dakota's behalf as well.
Yeah, I don't do a lot of internet shopping. We do a little, I understand the side of the state governments in this situation. Even though, like everybody else here, I'm no fan of paying more taxes.
Oh, sure.
Well, and the truth is, Chris, if you do internet shopping, which, you know, the younger you are, the more likely, mm-hmm. you know, the young ones under 40, they're doing all their shopping online. Everybody who shops online, Amazon, all the others, we're going to be paying a little bit more mm-hmm. in the future, yeah. right?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to hurt online shopping. Personally, I think most people do it for the convenience.
I still think internet sites are probably going to be able to undersell a brick and mortar store because they have less overhead.
Right.
Yeah.
It's hard to beat Amazon.
That's right.
What do you got next?
All right. Well, I wanted to bring your guys' attention to something we've been covering. We're going to continue to cover it. You know, there's this bill out in California that people say would ban pastors, clergy, churches, bookstores from offering materials and counseling services to people with same-sex attractions. This is AB 2943. Capital Resource Institute in California is going to be having another rally tomorrow. It's the District Day of Action. They say AB 2943 prohibits individuals, whether a pastor, clergy, or licensed therapist, from advertising sexual orientation change efforts, offering to engage in sexual orientation change efforts, and engaging in sexual orientation change efforts. Other people are concerned that basically this is going to lead to a ban of the Bible because the law, or the bill, as it currently stands, is so vague that someone could use it in the future to ban something like the Bible, which preaches transformation as possible through the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen for that. What do you guys think?
So this is a bill, obviously, not a law. So it's a bill being proposed in the California Assembly. It would have to go through the California mm-hmm. legislature and then be signed by Governor Brown.
In its current form, yes.
Of course, they're whacked out there with their liberalism, so I wouldn't be surprised if that didn't pass.
Yeah, there have been rallies in recent weeks, and we've covered this and talked about it on this show, where you had people that refer to themselves as once gay individuals. And they say if this bill were to become law, it wouldn't allow them to even stand in front of a microphone and say that change is possible through Jesus.
Yeah, what the danger is with the Bible, if you potentially could say this law which prohibits counseling to change from gay or lesbian to straight, just the counseling of that is against the law.
Theoretically, a situation could come up where someone with same-sex attraction goes to a pastor, or maybe actually active in that lifestyle goes to a pastor or a Christian counselor and asks for help and is given help based on the Bible, then suddenly that pastor is being hauled into court. Is that far-fetched? Well, it's not as far-fetched today as it was 2 or 3 years ago. I think that's probably going to come.
And it does mention prohibition of written literature which advocates for change, right?
Mm-hmm. It does.
That's why people are saying, some people are saying the Bible could be banned because it does, and it doesn't say the Bible's banned, but it talks about literature, I believe is the word used, or written materials which advocate for change in somebody who's homosexual or lesbian, that could be banned.
Mm-hmm.
That's the point of this whole thing, right?
Yes. So,
all right, you're listening to, but that's a bill still in the California Assembly. Yep. We don't even know if it'll make it to the.
Looks like they're going to try to vote on it, and we've been saying they're going to try to vote on it for a while.
I think that's a bridge too far, even for California.
Yeah.
I'm just guessing.
Right.
But we'll see.
Maybe a bridge too far today, right?
Right.
Well, that's true. Yeah. But we'll see. I'm sure there are, you know, a lot of liberals who would like to ban the Bible.
Sure. Wait until they break into three states.
Yeah.
Then we might see action on that.
What else you got?
Well, I wanted to bring your attention to this. A lot of people driving into work or going out to eat or what have you tomorrow, maybe to a brick and mortar store, they might see some people on highway bridges and overpasses holding signs that say abortion is murder. This is Pro-Life Action League, which is run by Eric Scheidler, son of Joe Scheidler, longtime pro-life warrior. But Eric and some other people across the country in 50 cities are going to be holding up signs on bridges and overpasses saying abortion is murder to try to bring it to people's attention what abortion is, and in their hopes, start a conversation between drivers and maybe passengers in their vehicle about what exactly abortion is. They seem to think that when that conversation starts, people start having, you know, engaging on the issue, and maybe some pro-life views will develop out of this. A number of the cities include Memphis, St. Paul, Minnesota, Tampa, Florida, and Omaha, Nebraska, home of the College World Series. So you're going to have a lot of people on the road this time of year, and they are going to be equipped with information from the Thomas More Society saying why it is they're able to do this in case law enforcement and other people stop and ask them, you know, what it is they're doing and say, you can't do that.
Well, good for them.
Yeah.
Anytime you can promote the pro-life cause or message, more power to you.
Yep.
Are you saying the cities are trying to stop them from standing there on the overpasses?
No, but they are prepared in the event someone from a city or municipality stops and says, hey, you can't do that. We'll follow up with you guys next week on that. Starbucks is shutting down some stores. This is from Washington Times. Their headline is this: Starbucks burned by social justice appeasement as growth stalls, stock plunges. Starbucks may have appeased progressives with its social justice workshops and open bathroom policy, but such moves have failed to caffeinate the company's bottom line. Their pun, not mine. Apparently, Starbucks was planning to cut 50 stores next year. It's gotten so bad they plan to cut at least 150 stores next year. So their social justice warrior activism does not appear to be paying off. I'll be making some phone calls on this.
I wonder if that's the reason, or is it just the fact that they maxed out? Because, you know, Subway.
Right.
Subway had to close, Subway is having to close stores now because just too many of them, Ray.
Right.
And you got too many Starbucks around.
They have saturated every major American city, right? So you can hardly go a block without seeing a Starbucks. So sure, some of this is a pullback. Don't you think, Tim, some of it's also a lot of people going, we don't like Starbucks taking a position on these culture war issues. Just shut up and serve us coffee.
I do agree that that's true, but I don't know if that, which happened, what, 6 weeks ago, 2 months ago?
Yeah, at the most.
I don't know if that's had time to make an economic impact on Starbucks to the point where they're announcing they're shutting down 150 stores, and the reason is people are boycotting our stores.
Yeah. And meanwhile, Chick-fil-A is doing great. So
just
saying.
Yeah. That Chick-fil-A's creepy infiltration story, the hit piece that the New Yorker tried to do, even that guy kept a line in there from someone at a Chick-fil-A in Manhattan, which estimated selling a chicken sandwich every 6 seconds in Manhattan, which you know is not a conservative bastion. That shows you liberals eat Chick-fil-A.
That's right.
You know your business is good when you can go into the store and eat before the line for the to-go orders gets to the truck you saw when you went in.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Right.
They're so, Chick-fil-A, Chick-fil-A doing just fine. Thank you. We will see what happens. So Starbucks shutting down 150 stores next year?
Next year. And they already raised price of coffee a couple weeks ago. They said it had nothing to do with that anti-bias training and closing down for an afternoon, though.
Okay. Well, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't either.
All right. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you.
Ray, appreciate it.
Hey, thanks, Tim.
Brent Creeley did our control board today, so you didn't hear from him, but we appreciate Brent's contribution and Walker Wildman's. Hey, have a great day, everybody. We'll see you next time.